Chris Sheridan bounces from being on hold to being on live with us of SheridanHoops.com, wondering what he just got himself into. Chris, good morning. Welcome to Fox.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me on, guys. I'm going to get rock solid for summer, too, you know.
Yeah, there you go.
There
See?
You go. I like it. Chris, we've been talking about NBA here this last half hour. Great to have you on to be able to join us. When we look at the standings, for both Eastern Conference and Western Conference, one of the things we were talking about is over there in the West, when you look at what the difference is in the tight race going on in the West, really between the 3 seed going all the way down to, you know, 11 where Utah is, it's still quite a jumbled mess in the West and could get interesting. How do you see some of that shaking out? Who's going to wind up on the outside looking in?
Well, you know, based on what's happened since the break, you'd have to say Utah and Portland. Utah is probably playing above their heads for a while, and they've moved Josh Howard into the starting lineup, and it hasn't really given them much. And Portland's really having a meltdown, and it's gotten to the point where it's looking like Nate McMillan's job is in jeopardy. Nate Robinson's job is always in jeopardy,
always.
But Nate McMillan's job is in jeopardy. They've allowed well over 100 points in 3 straight games, all losses. He's made a couple changes to the starting lineup, putting Nicholas Batum in for Wes Matthews at the two guard, and then subbing out Ray Felton and making Jamal Crawford the point guard, and it hasn't helped the team. It's that they've regressed, and they've become a much worse defensive team since then. Batum is really broken out offensively, but Jamal's kind of the perfect sixth man, and to move him into a starting role, it's something that Jamal's never really taken to, because a couple coaches have tried it with him before. So I think those two teams are going to fall out. The one that I don't think will fall out is Minnesota. They keep hovering around 500. They break one game over, then they go back and they're 500, and then they're a game under. And they've got a real difficult schedule in the month of March. But if they can come out of March one or two games above 500, I think they're going to be able to make a push in April to be that 8th seed. And that'd be quite an accomplishment for Rick Adelman and for Ricky Rubio, and especially for Kevin Love to do that. Remember, that team was so lightly regarded, fellas, that the league office, when they did the Chris Paul trade, they insisted that the Clippers be in that trade and include that Minnesota pick, because it was expected to be a high lottery pick. Everybody thought the Timberwolves were going to be the same Timberwolves that they've been for 2 or 3 years, but they haven't been, and that's mostly because of Kevin Love. I mean, he put up 42 last night. It's crazy. And he's been putting up 20-20 games, 20-10 games, double-doubles across, you know, every night. And I think the Timberwolves are going to manage to be the team that stays in the pack and stays in the race if that thing gets down to a 9-team race.
Now, you mentioned the Clippers there towards the end with the Chris Paul deal, and obviously losing Chauncey Billups, and now a little bit of heat of possibly Ray Allen coming in to give him that veteran shooter. Anything on that, and what would it take to bring him in?
Well, Ray makes $10 million, so you're going to have to put together a big salary to get him, and the Clippers really don't have a disposable one. Obviously, they're not trading Blake Griffin. They wouldn't trade Blake Griffin for Dwight Howard, I don't think, at this point. And they're not trading Chris Paul, so, you know, you're talking about taking guys like Mo Williams and Ryan Gomes and some of the other small pieces of depth that the Clippers have to make the salaries match, and I just don't see them being able to do that. I think, you know, Ray Allen's shooting has really dropped off in the last 2 weeks. He was way over 50% on three-pointers going into the month of February, and then he had a very pedestrian February, and he's dropped down to third in the league now in three-point shooting, which is something only because he was killing it so bad. And that sort of coincided with his name starting to pop up in trade rumors, but to tell you the truth, fellas, I think if the Celtics are going to make a trade that really, really shakes things up and they're going to get a lot of value back, the guy they're going to have to move is Rajon Rondo, because Rajon's pretty much a max player in this league. He comes with a lot of issues. He hasn't always been that compatible with the older fellas on his team. There's a big generation gap there between him and the big three, but there's a lot of teams that love Rondo, and if the Celtics are making him available, he's the type of player that can bring you back two or three pieces that are going to help you in your rebuilding plan. Because let's face it, the Celtics are going to be rebuilding very soon. Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, and Kevin Garnett are all on the wrong side of 33, 34. They're north of that. And so you have to rebuild. And if you're going to rebuild, the one guy that will bring you back the most assets Because the guy who really has the most value, he's young and he's got a reasonable salary, is Rajon Rondo. So if the Celtics make a trade, if that's the guy, I would look for them to trade.
Chris, a team that's not rebuilding but does look a little lost right now, the Dallas Mavericks. What in the world's going on with Lamar Odom?
Well, I don't know. To give you an honest answer, I'm not sure what it was that kept him away from the team. That hasn't come out yet. He did last night. He apologized to his teammates for being away from him. It was, almost 2 weeks that he was away from missing that first one before the All-Star break until finally coming back last night. He was supposed to play in the D-League last night, and they decided they needed him. And he didn't play all that great, but Dirk threw up 40, and they broke their losing streak. But, they're definitely going through a slump. They built themselves a nice little cushion. They played fairly well in January and February, put together a nice string where they won 8 out of 10 or 9 out of 11. And you need that cushion in the West if you're going to have a 4 or 5 or 6 game slide like the Mavericks went through. But, I think they're not as good of a team as they were last year. And even they wouldn't deny that. They really miss Tyson Chandler on defense, and they miss J.J. Barea. Remember, he was a starter for them during the finals, and they miss the defense that Deshaun Stevenson provided. But they've been pretty upfront about the fact that they're all about rebuilding as well. They're an older team. They got their jewelry and they got their trophy, and they got a bunch of guys, starting with Jason Kidd, who make a lot of money, who are coming off the cap. And if they're able to move Sean Marion, who has 2 years left on his deal, and get back an expiring contract, they're going to be in position to have almost enough money to make 2 max offers this coming summer. And if Deron Williams and Dwight Howard will take a little less money to come play together in Dallas, a little less money than they would get in Brooklyn, and remember, that's going to be offset by taxes. Texas doesn't have a state income tax. New York has both a state income tax and a city income tax. So when you're talking about taking a haircut to play for Dallas, that factors in, and the money kind of evens out. But that's Dallas's plan. Their master plan is to get Deron Williams and Dwight Howard, put them with Dirk Nowitzki, and have their own big three, and then build around that. And so what they're going through this year is a process of getting to the stage where in the summer of 2012, they can try to be a big player on the free agent market. And some of the losing that they're going through is the pains that are associated with that. But Lamar Odom is another guy. He's on an expiring deal. He never really wanted to be traded from the Lakers. He was devastated when the Lakers did trade him in the Chris Paul deal that was squashed. And then the Lakers, they listened to him and they let him go, and they took back a big trade exception that I still expect them to use before the deadline. So it's a lot of things going on in Dallas, and that's why that was a long answer.
Chris Sheridan of Sheridan Hoops. You find it at SheridanHoops.com and also on Twitter at Sheridan Hoops. Chris, thanks for joining us this morning. Appreciate the insight, and I'm sure we'll talk to you down the line as we get through and on the way to the playoffs.
All right. Thanks for having me on, fellas, and thanks for plugging the website. I appreciate that.
You bet it. SheridanHoops.com.